When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 16. Hello everyone, and welcome to the finale episode of Season 16 of The Dark Paranormal. I'd like to begin by giving two pieces of thanks, equally sincere, and both from the heart. Firstly, thank you for making Season 16 our most successful season yet, and that's down to your submissions of your true paranormal experiences. I genuinely cannot reiterate enough how this is your show, how I'm merely the mouthpiece for your amazing true experiences, and also how this has become a wonderful, safe, inclusive, and open-minded space within the paranormal podcasting sphere. We know the sites on social media that we're initially drawn to, and then we see the sort of negativity that takes place. Here, I can honestly say, it's the most wonderful group of people interested in the phenomena that I've ever come across. So thank you. Also, on a very personal note, seasons for The Dark Paranormal generally go over 2.5 months, there or thereabout, with 10 episodes, one episode a week. And season 16 has brought with it the most tumultuous 2.5 months of my life. The first half of the season saw me sadly lose my father, my final parent, and the second half of the season saw me and my partner both amicably decide to end our 13-year relationship, which has led me to move out of the house and into my father's house. So it's been a very strange season, and one that has been all up in the air, if I'm being perfectly honest. And therefore, I need to say a huge thank you for your patience throughout this season, which, all of those tumultuous things aside, you guys have managed to make the most successful season yet. And also, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for everyone who sent any sort of messages of support. I'm sorry if I didn't get round to replying to everyone. As you can tell, it's been a rather busy month. Hopefully, I will during the downtime between seasons. So, for both of those things, I'm sincerely humbled, and I sincerely thank each and every one of you. But for our finale. Now, I've become a bit of a believer in serendipity over the last few months. As you can imagine, when you go through these sorts of events, things will happen which you will question, and people with our interests, shall we say, will probably question them for longer and deeper than other people. Therefore, you guys already know how I like to keep the show kind of fluid in its setup. And the finale we've had planned for weeks has been superseded. And the reason for that is down to just a gut feeling. Well, that and also that finale now makes one amazing debut episode for season 17. However, I'm starting to believe you should challenge things out of your comfort zone more often. And it will likely never happen again that a finale episode arrives in the week building up to your already planned finale. But when I read this episode, it dawned on me that this is not your typical episode. It doesn't feature whistles, bangs, surprise jump scares. It just has an overriding feeling of menace. And initially I thought, no, our community likes scares. They like jumping out of their skin. But then I thought, I'm kind of backing away from something I don't feel confident enough to deliver. But believe me, when you read this experience in a house on your own at 11 p.m. by candlelight, the silence of your own home becomes a terrifying sound. So for this finale, I would ask that maybe you don't listen on a bus or in work. Maybe set yourself 40 minutes aside, sit down somewhere you're not going to be disturbed, and absorb and feel the atmosphere that our writer has found themselves in. This submitter provided some experiences for Dark Bites, our Patreon show. And 10% roughly of this experience comes from that episode where I asked for more information. And that information was provided this week. But before we begin our finale, forgive me, I've ran over my 5-minute limit to start the experience. I've yet to thank the Patreons. And this is standard fare for a finale episode. We have a lot of information to try and cram into our show. So please forgive me. I'm about to thank our Patreons. We'll thank more at the end. And there will be more information regarding the show at the end of this episode. But for now, when you sign up to our Patreon team, not only do you receive these episodes, finales, debuts, and anything on the main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, you can also gain exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. And Dark Bites runs every Sunday of the year without fail. 52 episodes a year, 30 minutes at least in length, full of the shorter experiences that we receive here at the Dark Paranormal. And the end of a season is the perfect time to join, because you will still get a weekly dose of your Dark Paranormal fix, and you can also gain access to the back catalogue of over 100 episodes for you to binge during that break. And I've spoken so often about how wonderful the community is over there, I won't repeat myself. I'll just say it literally is the most positive, supportive place in the paranormal sphere. And so if you like the sound of early ad-free access to debuts, finales, minisodes, a back catalogue of over 100 episodes of Dark Bites, and indeed joining that community, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. As usual, when we have an end of season coming up, we have a bit of a ramp up in Patreon signups. So if you don't hear your name now, it may be at the end of this show, or there'll be more information at the end of the show about when you'll hear your name before the start of Season 17. And don't forget, keep your emails coming in for Season 17 to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. But right now, our first batch of wonderful new team members. Armani, Achillea, Dee Dee, Casey Perryman, Jay Guitar, Mark Clement, Farah Jean Gwynn, Cindy Pearson, Chloe Bowd, Courtney Davis, Jeremy Stempin, Roman T, Nikki Tootin, Dax Culp, Heather Noel Flow, Taylor Fennison, Sky, Beatrion, Ace Rebert, Camilla Levow, Jennifer McClendon, Neil and Bruce, Pac-Man Impact Site, Joanna Powell, Armani, Savannah Plank, April Dooley, Armani Rector, Sparky Matt, Rebecca Nanico, Lisa Sutcliffe, Rachel Reeves, Alana, Rebecca Burr, Chris Smith, Eliza Beach, Sophie and Caitlin Taylor. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. I hope you enjoy all of that extra content during the downtime. If you didn't hear your name, don't worry. There's the same amount of names being read at the end of this episode. And even then, if you haven't heard your name, don't worry. We'll be releasing one of the 100 plus episodes of Dark Bites on the main feed so that we can have everybody's name read out the week before the debut of Season 17. And of course, the all important day to put in your diary is Friday the 13th. Of September, a very apt date to start the 17th season of your show. So, 3 minutes over my usual, so I'm going to have to put a disclaimer in the show notes. So if you're just joining us now after reading the show notes, welcome to the finale. All I've asked so far is that you treat this slightly differently than a usual episode. Don't listen, for example, on your commute. Find yourself a good hour to sit back and absorb what you're about to hear. Somewhere quiet where you won't be disturbed, preferably at night, get the most out of this experience, and when you're in that position, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and of course, leave your disbelief at the door. As for our Season 16 finale, we learn all about Old Man, Monster. I met my now husband in 2014. We were both older and we met on a dating site. I still say to this day, he's the best thing I ordered on the internet. It wasn't until maybe our third date, he explained to me that he had his own property. He admitted he bought it with his ex-partner, who he had now separated from, but did admit he was still living with her until she relocated to Australia. This was a few weeks before we met, and they were currently going through that messy negotiation period of buying her out of the property. As the weeks passed, we of course saw more and more of each other. And eventually, the invite came for dinner and drinks at his home, and the invite to stay. The house was built in the early 1930s by the Salvation Army. And knowing I love a bit of history, he was glad to share that in the deeds, it still said no alcohol or parties were permitted. But he could have livestock in the house if he so wished. He explained to me that the house was really badly built, but he expected that was down to it being perhaps volunteers, or the Salvation Army building without any skill. It was a typical lad pad. Very basic furniture, and nothing overly personal. He explained that one big bone of contention with his ex was that he and the ex could never agree on a colour scheme or anything to do with decorating. So, although she lived there for 3 years, before she left, the entire house was still completely beige, brown carpets. His ex's belongings were all boxed up in one bedroom that was shut away to respect her privacy. The house was nice enough, but my first stay was the first time the house itself let me know it wasn't just the living that occupied the house. After writing in and realizing the amount of things that have happened to me, I believe, perhaps, I am sensitive to the paranormal. Sheely, due to the number of experiences I've had. After writing to you earlier in the year, I didn't realise just how many I've had, things I've seen, felt and heard, until I began writing them all down. Anyway, that first night we had a lovely meal, and when the time came to head to bed, I slowly climbed the stairs, and I suddenly had this overwhelming feeling that there was an old man with glasses standing on the landing. I didn't see anything. It was just a feeling. Like if you're sitting with someone in a room and you shut your eyes. They can be completely silent, but you know they're there. It's the only way I can think of describing it. I think at this point, I was still putting everything that I experienced down to an overactive imagination. Something my mother would always blame if ever I felt something not quite usual. Plus, I didn't want to seem weird to my new boyfriend, as it was early days, so I never mentioned it. But I felt like if I focused hard enough, I would be able to see a man's face in my head. And I really didn't want to do that. That night passed without anything of note. And I stayed more and more as our relationship moved on. The house always seemed fine during the day. And then at night, it was like it took on a very different, intimidating vibe. And it seemed to all be focused in the back end of the house. I would try to avoid being in the house on my own at night. I would definitely rather travel the 20 plus minutes home than stay if he was going to be working late or up early in the morning. After about a year together, we found out we were expecting. This was actually a little miracle, as I was told I couldn't have children. His ex unfortunately found out and decided to return to the UK, to even move back into the house, and then ban me from being there. She even retracted the current deal to sell him the home in the first place. It's strange I didn't realise it at the time, but looking back, I was happier spending time in my small flat than his big house. And I honestly feel that that's down to the feeling the house would take on at night. Without going into all the back and forth, eventually she sold him the house and we agreed it would be better for us to move in there than to try and bring up a baby in my first floor flat. So I moved into the house, just 6 weeks before giving birth. And over the years, whatever this is in the house really began to let themselves be known. Over the months, the repeating feeling of the house taking on a strange, ominous vibe in the evening continued, mainly in the back end of the house. Night after night, I would feel like I was being chased out of those rooms and up the stairs as I was going to bed. And as I speedily headed towards the bedroom, I would flick the light switches as I went to ensure I was never stationary in the dark. And on those occasions, both me and my husband would be locking up together. Well, I would be too scared to look down the hall as we were going upstairs, and I'd rush in front of him without giving a hint of the panic I was feeling. In the first year of being parents, my husband had to work abroad quite often, leaving me alone in the house. I would sit nursing my baby in the middle of the night and have the feeling I was being watched the whole time. I couldn't sleep with the lights off, as I felt as if the minute the light went out, this thing would take over the space. And to this day, if he, my husband, spend any time away, I always sleep with the hall lights on. When she moved into her own room, I would zip across the landing from my room to hers, convinced I was being watched. And if I glanced towards the stairs where I first sensed that man, I would see something. All the while, the feeling was just menacing. This went on for literal years. And as our daughter grew, she would often wake crying about the monster in her room. I would walk in and I'd feel the energy. And I can only explain it as if I felt like a knowing that something was in the room. I felt like I was a little crazy, as I know I watch and I listen to ghost shows, podcasts, and I've been told my whole life it's all in my head. But the feeling was tangible to me. It became so regular, I used to go into her room, calm her down, and in my head, I would tell whatever this thing was that it wasn't welcome. This seemed to make the feeling go away. So, to be honest, I did wonder if it was all in my head. And this carried on and off over and over. But one evening, something happened that changed my mind about it being all in my head. My husband is a massive skeptic. And one night, he shut our bedroom door. Naturally, I ran to open it. And he complained that I was always leaving this door open and he wanted it closed. He had made humorous comments over the time we'd lived together about closing that door that I always leave open. But he never actually had until tonight. I explained I needed to listen out for our daughter. I didn't disclose that I really had this urge that if she cried, I needed to be able to be in there as quick as a flash. In a backwards way, I didn't want that door shut in case I needed to get out of there. I felt like if it was shut, whatever this thing in my house was would be stood on the other side. So I just asked him why he wanted the door shut now. And clearly feeling a little more open due to the few rum and cokes that we'd had that evening, he went quiet. And then explained that he kept having this particular dream. A dream where an old man was stood on the landing outside the bedroom door. Now, I had never told him about my first night there, and I certainly hadn't mentioned any of my feelings in fear of being told it was all in my head. This left me floored, but I still, at this point, didn't tell him what was going on with me. Now let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. It's September, it's back to school for many people, you start thinking of the year ahead. Will you get those work projects finished by the end of the year? And speaking of the end of the year, you have Thanksgiving, the holidays, they're all going to be upon us soon. Your brain is a whirlwind of plans, as it should be, because we're designed to survive by planning, but we don't plan that much when it comes to the end, i.e. when we're gone. It took me till last year to get life insurance for myself. And that's because life insurance felt a bit daunting, but Policy Genius makes this process a breeze. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. With Policy Genius's technology, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers in a few clicks and find your lowest price. And if you ever need help or guidance, they have an expert licensed support team to answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the whole process. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace for a reason. They don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, and their advice is unbiased. Everything else aside, the peace of mind you get from knowing your loved one's expenses are covered if anything happens to you is priceless. It's never too late to plan ahead, so head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see just how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD, MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it, and what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to grundymd.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's grundymd.com/darkparanormal.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less cost. carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Over time, as our little girl grew, she obviously learned to speak. And while still waking in the night, crying on and off, she began talking about monsters in her room. Then, one day, as I was helping her down the stairs, she had her eyes fixated on something behind me. Then she pointed to the empty landing outside my bedroom and said, "Man, Mummy." A shiver ran over me. The situation of the on and off atmosphere change in the house, the feeling of being chased to my own bed, and my daughter waking in the night crying about monsters in her room carried on. And then the footsteps started. I woke one night thinking I could hear my daughter out of bed, and I could swear that I heard the old underlay crunching, like someone was walking on it in her room, then on the landing. So I got up, and I went to put her back to bed, only to find her already asleep. This would happen on and off, and I would sit up in bed expecting her to walk around the corner of my door any minute, having had a nightmare, maybe needing a drink. But she would never arrive. I'd always get up, but always find her fast asleep in her room. One time, I was alone in the house during the day after having a bath, and I thought I heard my husband in the hallway downstairs come in and walk up the stairs. Assuming he'd popped home, I called out and received no answer. 2 hours later, my husband and daughter come home, denying ever popping back. A few months later, and we are once again going through another cycle of my daughter crying in the night about the monster. And this one night, I went in the room and settled her, but I had that feeling. And I was angry. It had been night after night for about a week. I told it where to go, and that this was my house, and if it thought scaring babies was clever, it was pathetic, and I would make it leave. But this time, I felt like it had no effect. I sat watching our daughter sleep for hours until I felt that energy dissipate. I went back to my room, but I felt on edge, because it felt like the energy had reappeared, but this time near my room. I'd been reading about how to deal with what was going on. Was it in my mind? Was it night terrors? Or were we being haunted? A practice that I'd learned to protect you from spirit was to imagine wrapping a golden cloak around you and lifting the hood over your head once you'd done so. So, laying there, I decided I would imagine that for all three of us. I closed my eyes, buried my head under the duvet, and began to imagine wrapping my daughter, my husband, and I. And as I imagined lifting the hood over his head, he started to choke. In real life, badly. I stopped imagining the cloak as he sat bolt upright in bed and struggled to clear his throat. He'd been sleeping soundly up till that point, and I even had to hit him on the back a few times, but eventually he stopped, and the energy seemed to go in that moment. I went and fetched him a drink, and we went back to sleep. But I was quietly worried I'd brought this all on myself. I'd had a real go at this entity. And firstly, in my mind, I protected me and my daughter. and then my husband. But before I got to the hood, maybe this entity attacked him. I reached out to a local medium. I explained what had happened and asked whether I should be worried. He told me he didn't have any bad feeling about the spirits in my house, but he also acknowledged it was indeed a man. He said that he possibly lived there previously, and that I just needed to keep reminding him that it was no longer his house. He also said he wasn't surprised about my husband's reaction to my golden cloak protection, and that when you carry out a protection spell against a spirit, it's fine to do it on children, but that you have to get permission from an adult. And it was this lack of permission that caused him to choke. I went out and bought some sage and some crystals, and I'd done my best to clear the house on a regular basis. I had to own up to my husband what I was doing, as I couldn't hide the smell, and I was worried he may have a reaction to it, in the same way he did to the golden cloak. He knew at this point about my belief in the paranormal, and I told him about the man, and linking it to his dream. He thought I was crazy, to be honest, and poked a little fun at me. But he let me go ahead as he didn't see the harm. Things seemed to ease up for a while, but eventually, again, our daughter would call out and cry minutes after being put to bed or in the middle of the night, talking about the monster. Unsure whether this was bedtime delay tactics or something more, a friend mentioned Aqua de Florida, which is thought to cleanse spaces and your aura if you spray it with diluted water. So I bought some, and I created a spray that our little girl could use in every corner of her room if she ever felt scared. But then the issues in the daytime started. Our daughter started to become scared of being in her own room alone during the day, or even going upstairs. She would run out of her room, inconsolable, if she suddenly realised that no one else was up there with her and all the adults were downstairs. As for asking her to go upstairs to get something from her room, well, that was almost impossible. I tried leaving presents on her bed, encouraging her to head up and go and see what the surprise was, but she would refuse point blank. She would not venture upstairs unless someone was stood at the bottom of the stairs watching her. And even then she would run in and out of that room. All she would say was monsters. And the drama to even get her to go up with someone was draining. One day, I decided to ask her if she could draw her monsters. I wasn't sure at this point if she was just telling the story to avoid going to bed. I expected a drawing of a cartoon monster. What I got was much worse. It was a drawing of our hallway cupboard and a black mass. When I asked her to explain her drawing, she said it was our shoe cupboard opening when no one was looking, and the shadow. I showed it to my husband as I wanted him to be less angry with her behaviour. It seemed like it wasn't something you would expect some five-year-old to draw if she was making it up. He thought maybe it was down to watching Scooby-Doo, so we stopped her watching it. But her behaviour didn't change. I still have this sporadic, overwhelming, intimidating feeling, especially at night, and especially in that very hall and the back room. But what do you do? It's not doing anything physical. I had no proof it wasn't my imagination. Maybe overthinking my daughter's tall stories. Shortly after writing to you with my initial stories earlier in the year, it was around the first time my husband acknowledged something in the house. I woke one morning after having a really good night's sleep, for once. Only for him to say, he'd heard footsteps. He said he'd heard someone walking on the landing, thinking it was our daughter, but she never came into the room. And when he went to check on her, she was asleep. I was a little concerned, as for him to say something, I did wonder if he'd experienced more than he was telling me. He's normally the first to laugh at me with my beliefs, so it was a big thing for him to say anything. As this year's gone on, the walking around upstairs at night has carried on. It's sporadic, around every couple of weeks or so. But both he and I wake in the night, expecting our daughter to be out of bed, and again usually just find her asleep. About 2 months ago, our daughter was in bed, and my husband and I were washing up in the kitchen, underneath her bedroom. And we both heard a massive bang. So loud, we ran up those stairs, thinking she'd fallen out of bed, or a bookshelf had fallen, only to find nothing, and her still fast asleep. She now doesn't want to go to bed in her own bedroom, and she begs to be put to bed in our room and then be moved when she falls asleep by my husband. I know my husband is getting frustrated by it, but it doesn't impact us too much, so I allow it. I don't know if she doesn't want to mention the monsters because my husband keeps telling her to not be silly. I'm torn between not disregarding how she feels, but also not feeding it, in case it is a stage. A few weeks ago, our cleaning company sent a new cleaner. After seeing my crystals, she asked my husband about them. He told her that they were mine and I was into all of that stuff, and I thought our house was haunted. She explained she was a medium, and that there was a man in our house. Again, like the previous medium, she said that he was a bit miserable, but nothing much to worry about. She also said there was a spirit of a vicar in the same house, and some odd link to a Sally Ann, who she thought maybe built the house. But that information is not well known. I felt a bit validated by her comments. I'd felt the man. My husband had. We'd had dreams about a man. My daughter years ago had pointed to a man. One medium had said they'd sensed a man, and now another medium, unbeknownst to the first, has said they sense a man. I went to a spiritualist shop with a friend on her birthday a few weeks back, as she's into crystals and angels, and I wanted to buy her something. We get talking to the owner, and I spoke about the things that I'd experienced in my life. And then I mentioned the man in the house. This guy says he was a medium, and he thought he was either known to me or a spirit guide I should try to communicate with. I said I couldn't believe someone I knew or someone that was a guide could be so intimidating and upset my little girl so much. And he explained that he thought it was just where he was trying to get my attention, as I have the ability, and he was just getting frustrated I wasn't using it. I wasn't sure. Something still didn't sit right, but maybe against my better judgment, I decided to try and communicate with this thing just last week. I chose a torch, and whilst everyone was out of the house, I set the torch up how I'd been shown and taught, and started asking if there was anyone there that wanted to talk to me. I said that we had all felt something, and if they wanted to talk, they could make a noise or turn the torch on. Nothing happened. I packed up, half relieved, half disappointed, and went to work. The next night, I'm sitting watching the TV in our back room when, suddenly, the volume on the TV starts increasing and increasing again. The remote's on the table, so I jumped up, worried it might wake our daughter. I grab it and I try to turn it down, but nothing happens. So I turn the TV off and on again, and everything's fine. I didn't think too much of it. The following evening, our little girl and I are watching back-to-back episodes of her favourite cartoon, chilling out in the front lounge. After an hour, I go and make a cup of tea, and as I'm walking back into the lounge, my daughter's just ran out of the room, saying the TV has just turned over to a horror film on its own. We were watching Netflix, so nothing easily done, given the several menus that would need to have been accessed to do it. I thought maybe she'd leant on the remote as we were laying on the sofa, but the remote was neatly placed on the table across the room. I thought it was a bit weird to have happened again so soon and to a different TV in a different room. But it's what my husband said when he got in that night that put me on edge. After we put our daughter to bed, we sat down with a cup of tea and he said, "You scared me this morning." I looked at him confused, as he was up and out before I even woke up. He said, "Don't you remember?" It was blatantly obvious I had no idea what he was talking about. So, he explained that that morning, he'd got up and got dressed and went downstairs to make a cup of tea. He said he needed the loo, so used the one under the stairs. He said, as he was washing his hands, he heard me get out of bed. He heard my footsteps walk from our bed across the landing to the top of the stairs, above the toilet, and whisper, "Rich," like I was asking him if he was there. He said he responded, but again I called out, "Rich." So he came out of the toilet and looked upstairs, realised I wasn't there, so he carried on upstairs and looked in our room, and there I was, fast asleep. So I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm not sure if trying to talk to it was the right thing to do, or whether I've opened the door to whatever is getting more interactive. Maybe I should have trusted my gut feeling. Have I, by welcoming it to communicate, started something I can't stop? Regards, Danny. Well, Danny, thank you so much for giving us such a cerebral ending to season 16. I genuinely hope I've done your ongoing experience justice, because this experience, when I read it, really gave me a chill. The reason being, it didn't need things falling off walls or someone being thrown down the stairs. They all have their place, of course, but this was a different experience altogether. It reminded me that this thing we call the dark paranormal doesn't need to throw things, it doesn't need fireworks or magic. It can just be there, watching you right now. So Danny, please continue to keep us updated on your apparently ongoing situation. And thanks once more. And now we bid adieu to season 16. But first, some very important information. The date to keep in your diaries is Friday the 13th of September. That's the debut episode of season 17. But also, season 17 will take us right through the month of October. And let's be honest, that's everybody else's favourite time of the spooky year. For us, there is no time we're more into the paranormal than other times. We just love the topic. However, for the month of October, we will be doing two minisodes a week. Not in a Halloween special type of way, but at the very least a nod of the hat towards the season where the world gets together to celebrate the other side. But of course, before I go, I need to thank each and every one of you for spending your time with me on your show, The Dark Paranormal. Seriously, season 16 has been our best season yet, despite everything going on behind the scenes. So I really have to thank each and every one of you. You've made this season, and we're going to make season 17 even better. Don't forget to send your experiences over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And of course, if you don't want to miss that dark paranormal fix, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. I'm about to read out another list of names, so keep your ears open if you're waiting for yours. And if you don't hear it, as I said earlier, we will be putting out a Dark Bites episode on the main feed the week before the debut episode of season 17. So your name may also be mentioned then. But right now, let's say a huge thank you to the following wonderful new team members. Tracy Jacks, Lindsay S., Jen, Mamie Aguilar, Daniel Chapman, Jen, Noah Chilton, Michelle Banahan, Pascal Quintero, Cade Conrad, Dave Jackson, April Dooley, Lydia Cole, Breezy35, Susie T., Jess, Melissa, Lauren, Justin Hall, Pierce Blenkinsop, Lindsay Irish, Heather Walsh, Meme3H, Lauren Bidwell, Morgan Baker, Savad Onmoon, Nanako Panko, Michelle McCarr, Jackie Kelly, Didge, Elva Tavares, Joey Pickle, Sam, Jazlyn, Christine Roma, Louise Walton, Tracy Hill, Anime Diz, Leo Openshaw II, Sasha, Joey, and Jocelyn Sammons. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting the show, and if you didn't hear your name, keep your ears peeled for when we do that Dark Bite special the week before the debut of Season 17. And again, if Three Fridays is too long to wait, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And if you can't do the Patreon thing at the moment, that's totally fine. If you enjoy the show, there are many free ways that you can help us. Go and leave a nice review, go and leave a 5-star comment somewhere, just do something nice if you enjoy the show. But for the final time in season 16, remember, when you're talking about the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you on Friday the 13th of September for season 17 of The Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.